We're going through the Gospel of John, but today it seems appropriate on this special baptismal day, we're going to look at how God wants everyone to know and to respond to the good news of the Lord Jesus, yeah? So we're going to take a break from John. We'll be back to John next week. But I want to focus today on what God is doing to achieve that, so that everyone might know and respond to the good news of Jesus. Because this is a living hope. God is at work today, as we've wonderfully heard in those two testimonies. I think most of us will know the game hide and seek. Somebody hides and the other people try to seek that person, yeah? And we used to play that with our girls when they were quite small, yeah? And there was one particular occasion which has become a thing of family anecdote or myth. I'll leave to you to decide. When Jocelyn was somewhat tired, and with Rachel, who was three at the time, she decided she would play hide and seek. And so while Rachel went to hide, Jocelyn, my wife, went to put the kettle on because she thought this was a good moment to have a coffee, yeah? Now, up until that point, Jocelyn, the mother, and Rachel, the three-year-old, their stories combine up until that point. The kettle did go on, yeah? There's no doubt about that. According to Rachel, the next step was about 7 minutes later. Mummy, you haven't found me yet. And Jocelyn sitting in the armchair, just enjoying a quiet moment, a parental tip, perhaps. But it can be the other way around. And you can be the adult, and you can do the hiding bit, and the young children have to find you, yeah? And you try not to be too mean, yeah? And if they can't find you immediately, you give a little clue, you know? Not too obvious, just a gentle cough. I found you, Daddy! I found you! They say with absolute glee. God wants us to find him. God doesn't play the hiding for long. He wants us to find him. I'm going to read from the big picture in Acts chapter 17, verse 26 to 27. And it says here, this is Paul speaking in Athens, and he says, from one man God made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. When I walk along the shore, whether it's Wardy Bay or in the west coast of Scotland, I love to see a bit of driftwood like this. And a bit of driftwood like that, it just kind of floats around, blown by the wind and the current and the waves, until eventually it hits a shore, but it just randomly drifts around the ocean. And in God's eyes, you and I are not just randomly drifting through life. In God's eyes, he is making arrangements so that we might find him, yeah? Let me just give you one example. This is zooming in to one particular person. It's a friend of ours, Tanya, and I asked her if I could use this photo of her. This is her with her family in Thailand. And like Jordan and Rachel, Tanya was not from a Christian background at all, yeah? And she liked hill walking. We met her. And then, to our mutual surprise, we found out that she was in the stair next door. She lived about 8 meters from us. You know how it is in stairs. Sometimes when it's the parallel, the next door stair, you don't necessarily know the person. And I believe that God, in some way, arranged that detail of Tanya's life that she might come across Christians. Now, I'm not suggesting that God has us like puppets He gives us freedom to make good choices, bad choices, neutral choices. Yeah? But there are some details in our lives that he arranges. We're going to see this in 2 Samuel, the next text, please. It says in the Old Testament, all of us must die eventually, 100%. But God does not just sweep life away. Instead, he devises ways to bring us back when we have been separated from him. I love that. God making arrangement. God devising ways that we might find him. A few years ago, just a few, before we were married, I was incredibly slow in working out that Jocelyn was trying to get my attention. I would just be far too embarrassed to tell you her final stage. Okay, there was a fancy dress. Everyone had to dress up in fancy dress. And it was a kind of camp type thing. And Jocelyn dressed up in a wedding dress. That was the moment. That was the moment when the penny dropped in Guy's little head. Now, this isn't a counselling session for the girls, by the way. But God tries to get our attention in multiple different ways. A friend of mine works, Eliana Payne, she works for Ember Buses. I wonder if we can see one of these. And I spoke to Eliana a couple of months ago about Ember Buses. Now, to be honest, I had never heard about Ember Buses. Yeah? Never heard of them. But ever since Eliana spoke to me about Ember Buses, I went up to Aberdeen the other day and I saw at least three on the road. And a friend of mine said this week that he had gone to Glencoe to climb some mountains up there. And I just casually as I could, I asked him, how did you get there? And he said, by bus. I thought, great. Then I asked him, which company did you go with? You see, and to my delight, he said, Ember Buses. I'm sure there are other good companies too. But somehow my attention has been logged in Ember Buses. Shame on me, I'm not remotely interested in buses normally. But it suddenly got my attention. And God somehow begins to cough, to nudge, that we might seek him. And when we come to know Jesus, we become part of that kind of nudging or coughing. And we begin to see people with new eyes. And we begin to see how God is connecting us with people that we wouldn't have given a second thought to previously. Today I'm going to look at a story in the book of Acts about how an Ethiopian came to know Jesus. But firstly, the bigger picture. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, there on the slide, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the age, at the ends of the earth. And so you've got Jerusalem in the bottom right-hand corner in the circle, and you've got Judea just below, and you've got Samaria just above. That was known territory. And the rest, Scotland's off the map. Ethiopia's off the map too. The rest is the ends of the earth, yeah? That's God's huge plan. And in Acts chapter 2, God brought, just before that slide, please, God brought thousands of Jews to Jerusalem. And they were enabled to hear the word of God proclaimed in their own languages miraculously. And on that day, 3,000 people believed in the Lord Jesus and were baptized. I just wanted to ask out of interest, how many of you speak a language that is not English, yeah? I have to say that's not English, otherwise everyone would raise their hands, yeah? That's not English. Could you raise your hand if you speak a language that's not English, just out of interest, yeah? You'll have different ideas on percentage, but it's maybe about a third of us speak languages that are not English. And for some of us, that will be our first language. After that, that other language other than English will be our first language. After that moment where everyone had gathered into Jerusalem, the church kind of locked down for a bit. And from Acts chapter 3 to Acts chapter 7, they were entirely focused on Jerusalem, the city, with a little bit of sorting out to Judea. In chapter 8, they began to move out to Samaria. They were kind of half-Jews, as it were. There was a bit of debate as to whether they were Jews or Gentiles. They were kind of half-Jews. And in the passage that we're going to read now, there's one step further out. Philip is now going to meet someone who comes from what, for them, at that time, was the ends of the earth. So we're going to read this. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. There'd been movement from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and now to the ends of the earth. And the story today continues with two people getting baptized who didn't come from a Christian background. Together with you, we are delighted. We've seen 15 people getting baptized this year in Kings. That's more than we've had for some years as a church. It's a reflection of something of what's happening in the nation of Scotland. I do, however, admire how you heat water in Gilmore Place. We've had a bit more difficulty in the Firth of Forth, but I admire how you do it with a boiler. I'll take some tips later. It's spreading out. We're communicating out to more communities. God wants everyone to hear. Now, God arranges this meeting between the Ethiopian and he... Sorry, I've jumped over that. The next one, please. And the next. Thank you so much, Cynthia. There you are. Thank you. God arranges this meeting between the two people, and there's a series of coincidences here, how God nudges these two people together. Yeah? God arranges this. They're both on the right road, the same road. There's two roads, actually, that go south from Jerusalem. And Philip is sent along the specific road, the desert road, where the Ethiopian will be found. And the timing is perfect. They meet each other on that road. Then we find they have a shared language. Philip is a Greek name. Think of the now Prince Philip, the husband who passed away of the former Queen Elizabeth. It's a Greek name, yeah? And Philip understood Greek culture, and he spoke Greek. And the Ethiopian eunuch in this story was reading the Greek version of the Old Testament. They had a shared culture in some ways, at least they had a shared language. The scripture just happened to be open in that chariot. I haven't tried reading on Ember buses. It happened, I haven't done an Ember bus, actually. But it just happened to be open. And it happened to be open at a point that directly spoke about the Lord Jesus. And we find that this important official, by chance, was open to learning from Philip. Just by chance. Completely different background in some ways. They had shared language. Other things were different. But he was open to learning from Philip. And they're in a desert road, and seems by surprise in the passage, there just happened to be an available pool of water to baptize. This was an arrangement set up by God. It didn't mean the Ethiopian, for 1 minute, had to believe in Jesus. But God was making it easy for him to find him. God was making the arrangements for him to find him. Now, when these kind of things line up, the laws of probability make it more unlikely that this happens naturally. And the writer of the book of Acts makes it very clear that it is God, the Holy Spirit, who is arranging this encounter between these two people. I expect God to set up things for me to speak with people who are open to hearing about the Lord Jesus. I actually expect that. I prayed yesterday and God gave me one. In faith, I expect this, not because of any special ability I have, but because of the heart of God that he wants people to find him, yeah? Do you get that, yeah? I'll give you an example of 10 days ago. Because it didn't result in a baptism in the meadows, yeah? Didn't result, so it's a different ending, yeah? But a Muslim lady was visiting Edinburgh for two or three days. Can I tell you this story? You okay with the story? Yeah? We'll get back to Acts in a minute, yeah? I want you to know that God makes these arrangements today, yeah? A Muslim lady was visiting Edinburgh for 2 or 3 days, and she'd come with her daughter. And she was standing kind of from here to the sound desk, away from the table where we seek to care for people with hot drinks. And I could see that with her daughter, she was discussing, and it was a bit odd, but they were discussing for 5 or 6 minutes, and it very much looked as if they wanted to come over to the table, but they weren't sure if they could, and there was this kind of toing and froing, and you could see. And so I thought, well, I'll go over to them. And I'll ask them if they want a cup of coffee. And the Muslim lady said, no, we don't want a coffee. And then she said, I mean, it was a little bit abrupt, if I'm honest. In case it sounds abrupt in the telling, it was a little bit abrupt in that moment, yeah? Then she said to me, my daughter knows this, but my husband told me 3 weeks ago that marriage is over. He's been with someone else for some time. And then she said to me, do you have a word of hope for me? I tell you, you know how sometimes the roads open up and you know, that's what I felt like. Well, I'll look for advice later on what you would have said. Do you have a word of hope for me? By the way, what I said was Jesus wept. I'm not saying that was the perfect answer, but I went on to explain the gospel from that point. God makes these kind of arrangements. He sets these up. But I want to look now at the kind of messenger that he uses by looking at the example of Philip the messenger. Philip is alert to God speaking to him. He's expecting God to be on the move. He's expecting God to want people to find him. A few weeks ago, some of us were involved in some teaching here by Sarah Varley, in which she was encouraging us to hear God speaking to us, yeah? And I want to encourage you that this most certainly doesn't just happen in Christian meetings, yeah? God is speaking all the time, yeah? Sarah would encourage us in that, yeah? But Philip heard God speak. And Philip was seeing crowds of people gather in Samaria, and God said to him, I want you to leave this place, and I want you to go to the desert road. He didn't give him more instructions. He just said the desert road from Jerusalem to Gaza, nothing else. That's a bit unusual. Seeing crowds of people believing and being baptized, and God speaks to him and says, I want you to go to a desert road where there's normally no one. And Philip is responsive enough that he obeys, and he just goes. And then as he goes along that road, the details begin to unfold. And God speaks to him again by the Spirit. And Philip hears the Spirit, and he hears the Spirit say, go up to that chariot and stick close to it. I believe that's what God is doing up for us as a church, King's Church Edinburgh. He gives us some broad pictures of how to move out, and then he goes filling in the unknown details as we go along, yeah? Because that requires faith on our part, and he delights in faith, and there are still unknowns, but he goes unfolding. But Philip is a messenger who is able to hear the voice of God. And he doesn't go by his logic thinking, but there's so many people here. No, he hears the voice of God and he goes to a desert road. I want to encourage you to remember the places where there are not so many people. I want to encourage you to remember the suburbs, perhaps. I want to encourage you, there are lots of people actually in the suburbs, but remember where it's not buzzing in the streets is what I mean. I want to encourage you to remember the towns and the villages of Scotland, yeah? How I admire Hope Church Borders, who are planting Christian communities in towns, some of them quite small, yeah? How I admire West Lothian, they're in a town, it's not a big city, Livingston, out there, yeah? Midlothian, your ministry will be in towns, that's what it's going to look like, yeah? It's a different type of ministry, and the Holy Spirit will lead you as you go. And so the Spirit said to Philip, rise and go. And very simply, the Bible says he rose and went. He was eager. He ran up to that chariot. Little bit of a stretch, but I want to encourage you this morning. I am firmly convinced that our church is growing in confidence in the gospel of Christ. I think the Lord used the Great Commission series we did a few years ago, then the Holy Spirit series, and now we're going through this book of John, and I believe that the church is growing in confidence in the gospel and in confidence in taking the good news to others. Philip was able to hear God and to act on it. He was courageous, and he met an Ethiopian. I haven't quite reached the stage of needing bifocals, yeah? You know, when you need one lens to read and you need another lens to recognize your granddaughter. I haven't kind of reached that stage, yeah? Or your wife. I haven't reached that stage, okay? But I think that in mission, we need to be bifocal. We need to look locally, but we also need to look globally. And I'm very briefly going to do a digression that I believe is related to this passage. Could we see the next map, please? Ethiopia is the kind of purple dot right in the middle of that screen, yeah? It's more or less, it's in what those who study Christian mission call the 1040 window, yeah? The red dots on that map are where the people groups are that don't have a viable church, a self-sustaining church in their communities, yeah? I thought of asking you, I'm not going to do it. I thought of asking you this morning, how many of you are in that, have a background in that rectangular window? Yeah? How many of you come from North Africa, the Middle East, India, Southeast Asia? But I'm not going to do it. Because for some of you, one, I don't want to expose you, but for some of you, there's actually some security issues there. Seek Christ while you can, I would say to you. But 40% of the world's population live in that band, and the vast majority do not have a viable church near them. And so if you have any connection with that area, I want to encourage you to pray for it. To pray for it and see what God puts on your heart, yeah? Our vision is not just Scotland. And if God puts something on your heart, speak to one of the elders about that. I am going to press on now. We're going to look at the inquirer from Ethiopia briefly. This was a man who was open. He said, how can I unless someone explains it to me? He was reading the scriptures. He'd gone up to Jerusalem to worship, but he didn't yet know the Lord Jesus. Some of you are like that, I believe. You come here to worship God. You've maybe been coming for some time, but you've got this kind of a little bit of private angst in your heart because there are others here and you know they have this relationship with Jesus. For them, it really is a relationship. It really is a living hope. And you're thinking, I enjoy the atmosphere. I enjoy the songs. I just enjoy being here. But I haven't quite got that relationship with the Lord Jesus. You can find that today. That's what this man was like. You can find that in this service. One, we encourage people to sit down to read the scriptures. One thing, one tool I use myself, the next slide please, is the Path of Disciples. And we just go through the good news, and you can do that at any time, any place, taking 15 minutes, half an hour. If you want 7 hours, book an appointment. Yeah, yeah, you can take the time you want, yeah? The time that fits for you. It just goes through the good news. And you may want to do that with someone. And there's the Making Disciples. That's the kind of leader's guide that gives you some help to do it. I don't really mind how you do it. God wants us to sit down with people with an open Bible and to read the scriptures with them. But let's go to the message. Philip knew the scriptures. And he found that the Ethiopian was reading this passage. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. I just want to ask you gently, do you understand what you're reading? That's what Philip asked. Do you understand here what you're reading? He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. It's speaking of a Jewish sacrifice, where a sheep was taken to be slaughtered in order to die in the place of the person who had committed some fault before God, someone who was conscious of their guilt, of their sin, someone who felt ashamed of what they had done. And he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. 3 years earlier, his cousin John the Baptist had said, look! The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His cousin was pointing to Jesus, the one who is like a sheep, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. He was facing an unjust charges. They decided he was guilty before they even started the court case. And he did not open his mouth. He was deprived of justice. His life was taken from the earth. For the first century Jew, it was unthinkable that God could suffer. But God suffered on the cross, reconciling the world to himself in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he cares. That was the biggest question for me. Does God care? And I found the answer in the death of Christ, the cross. I wouldn't want to claim it's 100% answered. It still requires faith, but it was sufficient answer for me that does God care? He let his only son die for us. I wonder if today you've been having his nudges. Has an occasional cough. And is it all just coincidence? Or has God been trying to get your attention? Today you can say yes to Jesus and you can ask him to be your rescuer. You can take that opportunity. Let's look at the response briefly. Acts chapter 8. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariots. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel to all the towns until he reached Caesarea. There was no supernatural sign. There was no vision from heaven here. It was simply one man explaining to another man the scriptures. As a result of that, the Ethiopian said, "Here's water. What's stopping me from getting baptized?" That was the response. I can only imagine the joy, but I don't need to imagine the joy because we've had that joy again today. Of Philip and the Ethiopian in that pool of water, one of them had right in those moments discovered the love of Christ and was now identifying as a Christian with Christ. What joy there was. But we, brothers and sisters, we, church, have experienced that joy today. Yeah? And our heart's desire is that others would experience that joy, that you would come into that joy again. You know, the passage ends with the Holy Spirit taking one of them away. You see, the Holy Spirit is fully through this passage. He is the unseen one just setting things up, but the Ethiopian has to take the decision. Here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? But it doesn't end there, you know. It ends with a brief comment, and Philip carried on preaching. Because the job wasn't done. Philip carried on preaching. Three points before I hand over to Dara. If God's been three possible ways that you could respond, nobody can respond to each of these three. But firstly, if you feel God's been trying to get your attention, take a step of faith today. Ask him to forgive you for all your sins. Ask him to give you a new life. You may want to say to someone, "Could I meet up with you just to read the Bible? Yeah? Just to understand this message a bit better." Secondly, if you're a Christian, I want to encourage you to be alert to the Holy Spirit who is setting up these kind of arrangements. He's doing that. That's his heart. That's what he does today. Yeah? I love that story. Peter and Fiona just inviting Jordan, "Do you want to come back to our house tonight?" Yeah? I love that. Very simple, just being led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah? I love that. Yeah? Let's be alert to the Holy Spirit setting, arranging things. And thirdly, and we won't hear this very often perhaps, but if you're from the 1040 window, if you're from that rectangle, particularly you, but not only you, please pray about what your part can be in taking the good news to the people from your background, because they are some of the most needy people in the planet, certainly in terms of the gospel. And of course, there are many other needs as well. If you looked very carefully on that map, you will have seen that Scotland is not that reached. If you looked at the map carefully, God bless you.